Welcome back to Coast. Every time I hear that wild card phone number, I am reminded I used to live across the street from the studio, right here. Same street. I used to look up at the Coast to Coast studio, and we had the same phone number, just off by one digit. And I hear it now, and memories come flooding back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can catch my show, Fade to Black, Monday through Thursday, right before Coast to Coast. That's the cool thing. When you're done with my show, you roll right on to Coast and George Norrie. Tonight, we are talking to Ron Felber. His book is The Mojave Incident. We are taking your calls when we come back right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Ron Felber. Ron, let's take some phone calls. Are you ready?
Sounds good. You know, Jimmy, just quickly, I did want to thank Betsy Lewis for introducing us.
Oh, absolutely. Betsy is the best. You know, I was on her show last week, and it was the fastest show I'd ever done. She is really good at what she does. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Betsy. Let's go to Wild Card 2, Charles, right here in Los Angeles, California. Charles, welcome to Coast.
Thank you. Good morning. The story, I've never heard anything like this in my life, and I wondered what year this happened.
It happened in 1989, October 1989.
Okay, because the Galactic Federation didn't move in here to help us make the spiritual changes till 1996. Mm-hmm. There's a trillion ships up there right now from all over our galaxy, and even one that isn't from Andromeda.
October 21st, 1989 is the date that this first started.
Let's go to Wild Card 3, Gordon, Lakeland, California. Two West Coast calls back-to-back. Welcome to Coast, Gordon.
Oh, actually, I'm in Lakeland, Florida. It's between Orlando and Tampa. But thanks for taking my call, Jimmy and Ron. Last night's show was dealing with a similar subject. It was the televised exorcism. And someone, I can't remember if it was the host or one of the call-in people, suggested that once you get to know one of the demons, they all know you. And I'm not saying that these UFOs were demons, but that is a prevailing theory among Christians, of which I'm one. But if any of the Christians out there listening will look at Acts chapter 19 in a more modern version, the evil spirit answered the seven sons of Sceva and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize or I'm familiar with." The King James Version just translates the word no. And the point that I'm making is if these are fallen angels or demons, they're only one-third of them fell. They're not as organized. And you can get to be well-known among the demons, but it's not generally the information doesn't spread as quickly because they're more disorganized.
Gordon, did you...
angels, or at least that's my reading of Acts chapter 19.
Sure. Did you have a question for Ron?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Did you have a question for Ron?
I wasn't going to, but I'll go ahead and ask him, what does he think the chances are that these could be fallen angels or maybe just UFOs that are not fallen angels? I mean, we don't really know, but we can speculate.
I would say this. I think that somehow or another, whether it's like a metaphor or whether it's real, certainly religion plays into this. Certainly you could view these gremlin beings as demonic. Certainly no question there's an angelic presence. And so I leave that to the readers, you know, to conclude. But clearly Marian visitations, whether it's at Fatima or Lourdes, things of that nature, you know, these kinds of things have been recorded. So there's a link. Exactly how far that link goes, I don't know.
Let's go to east of the Rockies. William from Michigan, you're on Coast to Coast.
Excellent. Oh, let me turn on my Bosley and listen to some Bobby Bosley. This is one of the most fantastic stories I've ever heard. It's terrifying as well. I'm going to take what that last gentleman said and explain a few other things real quick here. Every time you talk, my topic of questions completely change because it just overwhelms you. Now, that gentleman was talking about the Christian aspects of the relationship, but there's other aspects such as the Gnostics and the Archons, and also in something that is called the Western Mystery Tradition, to where you deal with these archetype figures and these entities beyond you. Often, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Often when you contact these beings, some people postulate that they're only psychological. Others say that they're physical. Some say they're spiritual. The reality is that they react on the physical based upon the directive of the will. Let me kind of break this down, because there's a point I want to get that other gentleman said. When you get involved in the occult arts, for instance, you'll react in a psychological archetypal fashion, a hierarchy, if you will, as you transcend the physical planes. And they talk about the directive of the will to transform your reality. So as these people were wondering, is this real or is this not real, and they were toying with their emotions, mm-hmm. every time it triggered an emotion, it brought a physical response based upon the recognition on the psychical level. So if you take that aspect in the sense that they're talking like they're scientists and all these other aspects,
mm-hmm.
I think what they're doing is that they're completely doing a back engineering on the whole human psyche to create a new reality. And when she talked about that our reality ends and our time ends, and when we stop caring and mattering about that which we matter about, and they start to matter or think about mm-hmm. it, or however you worded that,
yeah.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to replicate this reality that we are in to mm-hmm. become a replacement for us.
Thank you for the call, William. Great point. Ron, what do you think about that?
I think that I end the book with a little quote from Norman Mailer, and it's, "The devil might be a presence from another universe. We might be fighting an implacable enemy out there, and the devil might be the agent of the implacable enemy, with God as the tired general that wars with his own agents of hope." I think there is a dimension, you know, to this, that spiritual, a dimension that again, maybe a parallel universe. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at this, and really what I'd like to do is invite, you know, readers, take a look at the book. I'm very interested. Post on Amazon or Barnes & Noble how you see this, because I certainly don't have the ultimate truth. I've recorded this story, and frankly, I'm still working on it.
Well, there has been a very consistent message from all religions, all continents, all cultures, going back thousands of years, referencing everything coming from the stars, the gods, yep. the angels, communication, information, things that they were taught.
Yep.
Everything came from above. And when we have a reference like this coming directly from Tom and Elise with the message there, also talking about some things that have been written.
Uh-huh. You know, I read a great article in the New York Times just from the 22nd. And this happened at the University of Paris and Delft University in the Netherlands. They proved that two entangled particles, even if they're separated by the width of a universe, can respond instantly and interact with one another. Now, Einstein thought that wasn't possible, but apparently this quantum theory is something very real. And it makes you wonder, in a way, Jimmy, if this world that we live in isn't a spin-off of another.
Sure.
And that this communication is much like what they've discovered at the University of Paris, that we were entangled with something at some point in time. We were separated by huge distances, galaxies. But nevertheless, we interact on a regular basis with that.
Let's go to west of the Rockies, Paul, in Seattle, Washington. Hi, you're live on Coast to Coast. Say hi to Ron Felber. How are you?
Hello. Hi, Mr. Felber. Thanks for taking my call, Jimmy.
You got it.
And thanks for I'll never go camping again. But, seriously, though, I wanted to say, first of all, on that fallen angel theory, well, the Book of Enoch says the fallen angels are in chains and darkness until the time is. But anyway, I think they could have been demonic. But I just wanted to say, Mr. Felber, have you heard any stories or facts or rumors that this has anything to do with the people missing in national parks? And thanks for taking my call, Jimmy.
Thank you, Paul.
You know, there's a lot of things, and Jimmy, we talked about this before, coincidences and connections. So I don't discount anything along those lines. I think this story has like tentacles, and I think other stories have tentacles to this. This involves a lot of what I just was talking about with quantum theory. A fellow from MIT, a doctor named Kaiser, describes the world as mind-bending and peculiar. And, you know, it is a mind-bending and peculiar universe. It's just that most people don't understand that.
Let's go to J.D., first time caller lineup in Sacramento. J.D., welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yes, hello. Good evening. Jimmy, thanks for taking my call. Ronnie, it's been absolutely a pleasure listening to you because from 1969, we had a very similar situation that happened in California, and I had a chance to share that information. But when you brought out the point that lady that was abducted had a probe in her now, yeah. They followed her. My wife and I, who is an ex-wife now, but we had a very similar situation that occurred. But I, after the incident occurred, which I may go into with you, I was moved. There was a lump in her arm after we had this encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most highly unusual situation that I've ever experienced in my life. Now, I'm an Experimental Aircraft Association member of 7 years, and I've built and erected aircraft. I know about flight. My father was one of the researchers and developers that created the automatic pilot system. So I'm aware of reality versus non-reality.
Mm-hmm.
But what occurred after this encounter, my wife had a lump on her arm that was protruding. It wasn't red. She didn't notice it. But what I had done after this encounter, I had pricked the skin loose, and I peeled out this, it was very reminiscent of the old Sputnik,
mm-hmm.
Sputnik satellite.
Mm-hmm.
It was very small in size, and as I pulled it out free from the skin, it was still attached to the arm by very small, fine-like metallic type lines or wires.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually removed it from that. And I wanted to find out from you, did they give a description of what type of probe that they had inserted into these individuals?
Thank you for the call. I'm sorry, Ron. I was going to say thank you for the call, JD. Oh, Ron, any similarities?
Actually, we didn't have it removed. I mean, Elise really had sort of been through the ringer with this and was pregnant, and it wasn't pursued to the point of taking it out. But she had two pincer marks, two red marks there, and to my knowledge, anyway, that was never taken out.
Let's go to Wild Card 4. Jeff, right here at Culver City, California. Jeff, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy and Ron. Thanks so much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching the Godzilla marathon yesterday, and two of the films, Godzilla versus Girahija and Godzilla versus Mothra, mentioned futuristic humans from the 23rd century coming back to the 21st century to warn us of impending doom if mankind doesn't change its ways and behavior. And apparently, you know, we're worse than ever now. But humans seem to survive to the year 2204 in the 23rd century, so we're guaranteed at least another 200 years of survivability. But the UFO spacecraft in which these humans traveled was still more or less like these same gigantic spacecraft some individuals are seeing now in the 21st century. Now, even its functions remain similar, like the holographic imaging, dematerialization, and elevation through those bright beams of white light. Do you think it's actually humans from the, 200 years into the future and not really aliens at all? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that that point is brought up because, again, this is just a very recent article in the New York Times, which, you know, the science section. But they talk about exactly that. They talk about the existence of an odd world formed by a fabric of subatomic particles where matter does not take form until it's observed and time runs backward as well as forward, which Einstein said could not happen. But it's proven now that then if time can go back and forward, what your listener is describing is totally possible.
Let's go to the international line. We have Leo right up in British Columbia, Canada. Leo, welcome to Coast AM. Quickly, we're up against a break.
Okay. I was just going to mention something that happened to me when I was a kid, and I've been waiting to hear something similar, and your story here kind of reminded me of it. I was kind of had, when I was a child, there were these two beings that I would see kind of in my mind telepathically. I believe they were communicating with me, and one was called itself good guy and the other bad guy. And they would sit this behind this desk, and I believe they were studying me. And the one that referred to itself as good guy would try to get me to do bad things, and the one called bad guy would try to get me to do bad things. And the description of them is similar to what you guys were describing in your program tonight.
Interesting, Leo. Did you have a question for Ron really quick before we hit the bottom of the hour?
Yeah, I was interested if there were more people that had a similar experience, because I was wanting to connect with more people that might know more about what that was.
Thank you for the call. That's a great question. Ron, have you been in contact with other experiencers with a similar type of story?
You know, similar. I mean, actually, you know, there are some recorded, you know, situations, obviously, of alien abduction. But again, I think really, as we've discussed, what makes this different is just that it's on such a large scale and it's such a broad view. So I honestly don't know of any story like this. I do know of other, obviously, alien abduction stories, and many of them are documented by, you know, John Mack and Bud Hopkins and others, but nothing with this sort of cast of different kinds of beings, and the broad story, the broad vision of this alternate universe or this alien universe.
It's such a fascinating story for me, Ron, and the one thing that I keep repeating and keep running around in my head is I have never, and I thought that I had read everything. I thought that I knew everything about every content, because that's what I do. It's my job. I research, I read, I watch. I'm in contact with so many different experiencers that I thought that I had, you know, seen everything. I've had my own experiences myself. And in reading the book, I couldn't relate. I couldn't make a contact. I couldn't make a connection. And that's what made it so compelling and made it such a page turner, was because I didn't expect this. I wasn't going through the status quo alien abduction story.
Yeah.
It's totally, if that's the greatest part, it's that you can't relate it to anything else.
I think Jimmy, that
Ron, yeah. Listen, we're going to be up against a break here in just a few seconds.
I just think this is getting larger and larger and more visible as time goes on.
We're going to be taking the rest of your calls. I promise I will get everybody in tonight. It's the book is The Mojave Incident. Ron Felber is the author. Again, you can't relate this story. The studio is dark. I hope your room is too. Get next to your speakers. We're going to take the rest of your calls. Gary, Ron, Stacy, Jordan, Jerry, Mark, all of your calls when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow us on Twitter. I'll look to Twitter right now for a couple of questions hot to my left. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Tonight, it's Ron Felber. The book is The Mojave Incident. We are taking all of your calls next, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Tonight, fabulous conversation with Ron Felber. The book is The Mojave Incident. We are taking your calls. Let's go straight to east of the Rockies, Jerry in Baltimore, Maryland. Jerry, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, good morning. Is it possible... I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a social worker, but is it possible that both of them are depressed or suffering from mental illness?
Thank you for the call.
I don't think it's a good thing for them to go to Utah and join the Latter-day Saints, which is a cult religion.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of the things that one of the first things that I wanted to do was to put that out of the way, and so we brought them to one of the most respected centers for psychiatric disorders in the world, which is the National Center of Psychiatric Disorders in Washington, D.C., and they were examined very thoroughly for neurosis, psychosis, schizophrenia, and they checked out totally normal.
Let's go to Wild Card 1, Gary, Ontario, Canada. Gary, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm good, Gary. What have you got for Ron tonight? Yeah, you're welcome.
I got there, tried to get on a couple nights ago, and I couldn't. I think what they're dealing with is Arcturians. Have you ever read the book, We the Arcturians?
I have. I don't know if Ron has, but what's the question, Gary?
Well, I'm just telling you that there are Arcturians. Nobody's crazy. They are here. They, Ruth Montgomery wrote books about them. One's called Aliens Among Us. The other's called Strangers Among Us. And I just finished reading those books, and they just blew my mind. She talks about the end of the world coming. And this was back, and she's dead now, but this was back in the 79, I think, when the book was published. And I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was in my house because I got about 15,000 books. And a lot of them are about ETs. One's called Making Contact, What You Do If You Meet an ET. And it has pictures, drawn pictures of what they look like. But in this book, We the Arcturians, they have these women that are writing the book draw a picture of them. They tell them how to do it. And they're only about 3 or 4 feet high. They've got 3 fingers on each hand and a thumb. And they don't need any more, they say. That's why they only have 3 fingers. And they're here to help us.
Thank you. Yeah, Gary, thank you for the call. Ron, have you had an experience of your own?
No, I haven't, Jimmy. And that's, you know, one of the things that it made this so intriguing from my standpoint. And one of the things probably that makes the book different from many, I mean, I didn't go into this with a lot of preconceptions. And I, if anything, I probably went into this more as a skeptic than a believer. And so this won me over.
Let's go to west of the Rockies, Mark in Roseburg, Oregon. Mark, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, I had an incident one time that I was dealing with. I was wondering if, with colonization, if Ron think that maybe that they're like colonization, that they're like, you know, like in Star Trek, where they go from different colonies to from different galaxies, and they just happen to come to our planet and check out for any type of mining of crystallization of for their ships that they could use, and they were there in the desert, and they just happened to be there when they were there to just like colonization.
Actually, That was one of the original thoughts, and one of the original things that came up was, okay, fine, they were there mining and stumbled on to these people or vice versa. But really during the hypnotic session with Elise, she made it really clear this was part of a plan. And she didn't go so far as to say it was a plan to colonize. She said it was a plan to unite, and they were trying to figure out the way to communicate with the humans, and so that it would be accepted, so that they understood how to communicate. Now, whether their purposes are benevolent or malign, I don't know.
Let's go to Wild Card 5, Jordan, Salt Lake City, Utah. Jordan, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. No, just real quick, you know, I believe fully that, you know, there are other worlds just as equal as ours. And, you know, as NASA sends out, you know, aliens and, I mean, monkeys, my apologies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to try to do the thing. I feel the other worlds do the same thing. You know, they're sending similar things as ours that are far more advanced than we are. That, you know, are sending what, I mean, aliens on their planets as we send out monkeys. I don't know if that's pretty far-fetched, but, you know, that's something I believe in. You know, I believe that fully. You know, I believe there are other worlds, and trying to experiment, trying to get to us just as we are trying to do the same thing, but are not as advanced. I don't know how you guys feel about that, sort of.
Well, should I take that, Jimmy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, my view is you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's not so far-fetched because we do it. I mean, we send probes out. We've sent, monkeys out into space. We've sent dogs out into space. I mean, so it's not far-fetched at all. I mean, clearly, we're trying to make contact with something or someone. That's a fact. I mean, you know, we wouldn't spend billions of dollars if there weren't some reason to do this beyond military.
That's a great point, Ron. And I'll say that not only monkeys and dogs, but we've sent us too as well. So why wouldn't it? That, what is far-fetched about that? I don't find anything far-fetched about it at all. As a matter of fact, let's go to Ron on Wild Card 2 right here, Santa Ana, California. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Hey, thank you. I think a while back, George Norrie interview had a host called, I think it was Gordon Asher Brown, talked about the Galactic Light Alliance.
Okay.
I think you interviewed him too, didn't you, Jimmy?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and they said that everybody thinks that something's going to happen, and they said that they're going to try to send down more light to get everybody's vibration higher. And they're going to come eventually, and they said, Gordon says that they're going to take all the haters off the planet.
Right.
What do you think about it, Ron? Do you think this might be part of the Light Alliance?
Well, I'll tell you this, if they take all the haters off the planet, I don't know how many people will be left the way things are going these days. But I think all of this has a logic to it. I mean, the basic premise, if you go with the basic premise that there are other universes, if you go with the basic premise that these other universes, at least some of them, are populated, and if you go with the premise that, okay, people evolve, things evolve in different ways and in different time frames, and perhaps these are more advanced than we are, or some are, some aren't, then all of this makes sense. It's just if you can buy into these three or four, points, and most people can buy into those points. And after that, it becomes a logic exercise.
Let's go to Bonnie. That was a great call. Let's go to Bonnie Wildcard in Pahrump, Nevada. Welcome to Coast to Coast, Bonnie.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call. I missed a little bit of what you said, and I wanted to ask a question about how you mentioned that, first of all, that there was evidence that they've been here for all time, you know, since, you know, the beginning. Mm-hmm. Visiting us. Mm-hmm. But then you also said that she said that she announced that they were like from some galaxy or some, you know, close by.
Mm-hmm.
And that their point was that they wanted to try to make, you know, some sort of communication with us and to be, I don't know, to be friendly or whatever.
To unite the five galaxies. That's what she said.
So one more time, I'm sorry.
To unite the five galaxies.
Okay, well, and then she said that it was going to take place in your children's lifetime.
That's what she said, yes.
Okay, so if it's been here all this time, mm-hmm. it seems to me, I mean, I don't know how long, what they're talking thousands of years, why would she think that it's going to take place in the children's lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
What makes her think, you know, did they tell her that? That, you know, specifically is going to happen? Because, I mean, that's like the next 20 years,
yes.
I would think.
They did, and that was her answer, and it was a very specific answer. But, you know, I can take a stab at it. She's not here to answer, but I would say this, and I made this point with Jimmy when we were talking prior to this a little earlier. If you look at the way things are going, in about 1958, 56, whatever it was, you know, somebody snaps a photograph of what looks like a disc over the Himalayas from an airplane. and Life magazine goes crazy, and Look magazine, etc. In the 1960s, you have the Betty and Barney Hill story. So you have real glimpses of things, you know, glimpses, a fuzzy photo. But then you have really stirring things that happen 10 years later, 5 years later, from Betty and Barney Hill, where you have an abduction that, okay, fine, they saw a UFO, they had missing time, they were retrogressed, and it was recaptured, to a story like this one, or like Whitley Strieber with Communion or whatever, real and true alien abduction. More and more, over a very short period of time, and you talk about 50, 60 years, which is a very short period of time, things have escalated from this glimpse of somebody snapping a photograph, a fuzzy photograph over the Himalayas, to the Phoenix Light, where people have videotapes of this huge, you know, covering 5, 6 city blocks, huge UFO that 10,000 people witness. So clearly something is happening, and it's happening rapidly. And I would have to say that it's because we're being sort of indoctrinated towards that. And I don't know that people in the 1920s could be indoctrinated towards that so easily. So it's a gradual process, but the process is certainly coming to something much larger and more visible than before. That's my view.
Let's go to Wild Card 3. Stacy, Oxbridge, Massachusetts. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi. Bruce, my heart goes out to these people because I feel bad they had to go through that torture.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, before the calls got took, you were talking about a ball of light, and it maybe didn't affect her child, but you didn't. We didn't talk more about it, so I was curious about that. And also, are they still together, or did this drive a wedge in their marriage?
Those are really good questions. They're still together. Their lifestyles have changed considerably. Simpler, as I understand it. And again, they were very, very involved with the church, the Mormon church. And then these days, I think they're still involved with the church, but not so intimately as they were, not so actively as they were. I think they've reconciled to live with their experience. You know, at some point in time, you just come to grips and say, this isn't going away. So I think that. And I'm just trying to think. What was the first question?
The child that was born. Yeah. She is. Is she?
Yeah, that's right. It's a she. This is what happened, and this what came from the hypnotic sessions. She said, and I didn't finish. She said that it wasn't the right time in my cycle, but I got pregnant. We knew while we were making love, they were there in the room with us, and I looked up and. Tom said, you're pregnant. And I said, you're right. I know. I'm pregnant.
Such an interesting part of this story. And the child now is 20 some odd years old, 23 maybe, 24 That's years right. old at this point. Is the child special, as Tom and Elise indicated, anything that is different or special about it's a young adult now?
Yeah, you know, I have not gone into the children. I feel and felt that they felt that their parents had come forward. You know, that they're adults, they made their decisions, and they said, okay, fine, I'm going to come forward and talk about this. I was reluctant to get into the children's lives, and they were reluctant to have me get into the children's lives. And I thought that was fair enough in terms of privacy, et cetera. However, I would say that historically, and Jimmy, you would know more about this than I, but historically, clearly Tom had an experience when he was 8, and then this other huge experience. So they believed that they'd been singled out in some way. And so it would be very surprising to me if their children, particularly that one child, wouldn't be in some way affected.
Okay, I'm going to try to get in a couple more calls here really quick. Xander, Wild Card, Manhattan, New York. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mr. Church? Yes, I want to speak to your guest. Sir, I have a question to ask you. Do you consider that the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Bible have anything connected to, like, multiple extraterrestrials?
There's a linkage, and what's difficult to, at least for me, to discern is whether that linkage is because of a sort of a common language in our heads because of our upbringing, where if you see something, you know, you want to identify it in the terms you know about, an angel, a devil, or so then it would be a metaphor. It wouldn't be really real. Or if that's absolutely, literally true. And it's very difficult to discern which it is. In either case, there's no question that biblical references come up, the imagery from the Bible comes up, the imagery from, again, Marian visitations comes up. So to separate them and say this is not a factor would be wrong. It's clearly a factor. It's just a question of whether it's a factor that comes from them or comes from the outside.
Let's go to the first-time caller line, Sharon, Bakersfield, California. Sharon, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi. I was first going to ask if there was any study or comparison done with the Betty and Morning Hill, but you brought that up already. So my next question is, do you know what part of Mojave Desert they were camping at?
Yeah, I think that the geography, I could say very near the Tabletop Mountain was visible to them. The Cima Dome was visible to them.
Let's try to squeeze one more in. Wild card, Jay, Long Beach, California. Jay, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
I'll talk fast. I do think, I just want to ask you a philosophical question. Do you think the reason why we fear extraterrestrial aliens so much is because as human beings we've never develop a technology that we didn't eventually use on somebody else to subjugate them, and we think that they're no better than us, so we fear them because, you know, we've had such a history of using, you know, more might than the other person or more technology to rule them.
That's a great point, and I think the answer is yes. As a matter of fact, Albert Einstein said, giving the military technology is like giving an axe to a psychotic killer.
Well, that's exactly right. I can't get to everybody else's calls tonight. We're just back up against it. But Ron, let me, first off though, the website is ronfelber.com. All of his books and certainly Mojave Incident are there. Ron, what is next for Tom and Elise?
I think probably we'll be talking again about their experiences and maybe something beyond the scope of this particular book. We'll see. We'll just have to see how that goes. Again, I don't like forcing myself on people, but if they you know, there's certainly merit to it, and people want to know. So I'm certainly open-minded to that, and I'm sure that over the next couple of months we'll have that discussion.
Thank you so much, Ron. Absolutely fascinating book and a fascinating story. Just go to ronfelber.com. Ron, have a great, safe rest of your week.
Hey, thanks so much, Jimmy.
This has been Coast to Coast AM. All of that bumper music tonight, I got to say, it was Jeff and Ben. Very special thanks to George, and Lisa. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio. This has been Coast to Coast AM. Good night.